Hi, my name is Mike, and I'm a noob. So, I really didn't know that this was going to be a two-hour panel. I'm going to encourage everybody else to try and participate so that I can fill the gaps and then explain to my wife why I'm not giving her a call in an hour. You know, Tom brought up some very important stuff. This actually is kind of funny. He talked about how 101 has grown. When I first came here, the first time I came here was because of Alex Rogan. And he said, hey, I'm going to introduce you to this really cool guy, Chris Hurley, who was war driving. And, you know, this was a decade ago where we're talking about, you know, cutting edge wireless stuff was him sitting in his Ford Mustang driving around and then, you know, cussing at a reporter later because they didn't report it properly. And then Chris managed to rope me in and said, hey, I'm going to run the vendor area, so can you come help me out? And I did, and I've been here ever since. And the one thing that was has always been cool about this, as Tom leaves to go to the bathroom, is exactly what Tom said. You come here to learn. It's amazing that you can come in here and you can stand in a room or sit in a room or sit in a hallway with, you know, 5, 10, 20 people, and all of a sudden this just becomes a collective consciousness. You know, not everybody has the same level of experience as you. Not everybody has the same vision as you. Or maybe not just the same perspective, but, you know, it's amazing how that can come about. That aside, DEF CON is also about having a good time. It's about coming out of your shell. It's about doing things. I know that the original description of this talked about the shenanigans, and there have been shenanigans, and DEF CON has grown. DEF CON has grown significantly over the last, over the last decade, moving from the Lexus Park to here. You know, I can remember when 2,000 people was a huge con. And that still meant you stood in line all the way around into the parking lot of the Alexis Park. For some of us, remembering the tent on the roof and how hot it was and the Hacker Jeopardy. And Vinyl Vanna probably very excited to be out of her clothes because it was so hot. So with that, I'm going to kind of turn it over to some of my friends to tell a couple of stories, and we're gonna talk about the good times, because the coming out of your shell part really is the most important part. A lot of people come here alone. I have a friend who's here right now. He's alone and he's miserable, but it's because he's not letting himself meet people. He's not letting himself just sit down, be himself, and have a conversation with people. And it's a shame, because now he's missing out on the rest of the con, because not everybody gets it. DC 101 is important because it lets you learn. It puts you in a position where you're learning about stuff that you may not necessarily know. And it's not hands-on. It's not a workshop. That's what the villages are for. It's actually, you know, where you can sit down and you can start to get interested in something. You attend a talk. If you were in Dave Litchfield's talk about time-based, and this was a while ago, time-based attacks on databases, unless you're Dave Litchfield or somebody at Dave Litchfield's level, you don't get it, so you're just sitting in the audience, you know, nodding your head, going along. But hopefully it interests people enough that they're going to at least look it up and say, oh, that's what time-based means. So with that, you know, do any of you guys want to start it off, tell stories, talk about, you know, the fun times, talk about grass angels, maybe, or talking about any other experiences? Come on, raise your hand. I will make you, Aaron. Thank you. Alex Rogan, people.
Yeah, so my first DEF CON was DEF CON 10. There's a lot of cool stuff that went on at DEF CON 10. I'm going to try to convince some other people to talk about a couple of those. I'll talk about one of my most fun times, which was DEF CON 12. Still at the Alexis Park, and we were walking as a crowd, kind of stumbling as a crowd, moving back from, I think we were going back from pool 2 back towards pool 3, I'm not sure. We had already had a few alcoholic beverages at the Irvine University, or Irvine Underground, IVU party. And I was walking with my, at the time, girlfriend, now wife, Jennifer. And I turned around for a second and turned back, and she was gone. And so, you know, all of my friends are there with me, and my at the time, girlfriend was not. So I was a little nervous. So I started looking around, you know, calling out for, and couldn't find her. So I kind of turned a 360. I said, well, let me just stop here, look around. You know, maybe I'm going to track her, like I'm some sort of, you know, manhunter tracker thing. But I turn around, and I see overlooking one of the upstairs rooms, the window was projecting C-Lab 2021 from Cartoon Network on there. And so we both really enjoyed it at the time. So I said, I'm just going to bet that she saw C-Lab in the window and wanted to go up and talk to people, because she's a very friendly, welcoming person, and she likes doing things like that. So I go up to the door, as best I could tell from the window, and knocked on the door. And the, you know, person opened the door, said, "Hey, is my wife in here? Is my girlfriend in here?" And he just kind of looked. He goes, "Oh, Jen? Yeah, come on in. She's here in the back." And so she went right in and was laying on the floor with another young lady, just watching C-Lab, having the best time in the world. And so I'm like, what? Innocent. Totally innocent. Nothing debaucherous going on or anything. Just two women watching C-Lab together.
You know what's good?
Yeah. And so so as I was talking to the guys, I'm like, hey, listen, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to disturb you guys. They're having a private party. I didn't want to disturb them. He's like, oh, no, it's cool. And actually met the founders of Wiggle.net, the database mapping conglomerate for wireless access points. I met Bob Zilla and Arkasha that night. And it just was the most random thing, just walking through DEF CON, seeing people, and losing my girlfriend to the guys at Wiggle. We had a great time. And I'll even do an addendum onto that. So after we leave Wiggle, we're walking back towards Pool 1. And I'm having a hard time staying vertical at this particular point. And I see, so Romer isn't here, but Romer was talking with somebody that I had been wanting to get a chance to talk to, Andrew Williams. At the time, he was vice president publishing at Syngress. And I had actually, after my first couple of DEF CON, said, hey, I might actually have an idea for a book. You know, maybe it's something, I don't know. Put together a little 30-second elevator pitch, so to speak, for it, and walked up, just almost falling down drunk, talking to Andrew Williams by the by Pool 1. And it turns out, later on, he was as drunk as I was, which is probably why he wanted to listen to me. But I got to stand there, and I had his attention for, you know, 5 or 6 minutes, and, you know, went through my idea and my pitch, and he said, actually, that's a pretty good idea. That's an interesting perspective I haven't seen before. So, yeah, you know, here's my card. I'm going to set up an email with you. And we ended up doing a book with Syngress, just all predicated upon getting a chance to meet him by Pool 1, just by getting out and walking and seeing people. And people, once you meet that one person, you're going to end up meeting that person's friends throughout the con too. So it's not just about finding like a buddy to go with, which, well, I mean, it's fun too, but get to know as many other people, because you're never going to know who that person is over here could give you a book deal. A lot of my friends have gotten jobs through DEF CON. I know I wouldn't be where I am in my career without the friends I've made at DEF CON. And it all started with DEF CON 10. Four of us from a small university in Texas saying, I think we can actually compete and actually hang with these people from California and from New York and from DC. You know, we're not in the middle of the hacker scene, so to speak. But actually, I'm going to invite another medic, Tim McGuffin, up here to talk about our experiences at DEF CON 10.
I hate you so much. Yeah.
This one's better than two of us.
So at
At DEF CON 10, we decided that we could compete in a Hacker Jeopardy, having never seen it before. There was no videos or anything back then, and we did. Myself, Aaron, and his loving wife, Jen, the night before she got lost with Bob and Arkasha. We signed up 2 years before?
2 years before.
Oh, yeah, never mind. That's DEF CON 12. So we signed up as a team for Hacker Jeopardy. We got chosen, and we walked up on stage, and we had no idea what to expect. We're in this sea in a parking lot in the Alexis Park of about 1,000 people. It was hot, it was sweaty, and there were random things happening behind us. There was a scantily clad lady that I didn't know to expect. It was very out of my element coming from conservative Texas. So we get up on stage, and we're doing quite well at Hacker Jeopardy because the questions that they're asking are low-level tech questions that's what we do. I mean, my background's in electronics and chemistry. Aaron's is in computer science and SCADA systems, and Jen is a pop culture junkie. So it fit really well with the questions that were being asked. About halfway through the first round, we have enough points to just stop playing, and we could walk away with the win. I didn't know the rules of Hacker Jeopardy in the crowd at the time, so whenever a Daily Double came up, are y'all familiar with the Daily Doubles from the old Hacker Jeopardy? Okay, cool. So whenever the Daily Double came up, I wanted to spend 500 and just make a few more points to solidify our lead and call it done. Aaron, having been tipsy and drinking more than he probably should have that night, overrode my $500 bet and bet it all. Every dollar we had. So he bet it all, and then we decided the question came up, and the question was, which virus was distributed across the security-focused neophytes mailing list in March of 2002 was the question. And it was just blank stares. I have no idea. Nobody in the audience had an idea. Turns out it was my party.
Yeah.
But that lost us all of our points. So from that point forward, we're now in last place. We're broke. And we start drinking to try to make up our points. And it just goes downhill from there because I'm not a big drinker, but I had Corona at the time, and I'm not a huge Corona fan either. So I had somebody run to the bar and pick me up a bunch of limes so I could try to mask the taste, and it just... horrible, but never trust your friends at DEF CON.
Yeah. I was doing my part to really catch the team up, so I was actually two-fisting them. As quickly as I could, I had a really nice screen of brown glass in front of me, or white. I forget. We were probably going to Bud Light by that point.
Probably so.
I think we had burned through the
Corona. Because we were negative at the time.
We were making you drink the shit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
So with that, and just to kind of bring the story full circle, one of the other guys that we were competing with at DEF CON 10, I just ran into actually on stage at the Hacker Jeopardy trials tonight. Hacker Jeopardy was having the trials from 1 to 3. They were looking for people to get up on stage. The two guys standing beside me, G-Mark pointed out and says, hey, y'all come on up here. Turns out we competed against Hacker Jeopardy and had the same questions still in our head where they had got it wrong and we had got it right. Still wasn't enough points. But it was HTTP, or it was TCP port math. So HTTP plus FTP divided by, and the answer was 31337. They got 31336 because they were off by a port. But come full circle, here we are 12 years later? 13 years later? And still meet the same guys, still reminisce about the same things. It was a much smaller community back then, much closer knit.
Now, I thought you were going to tell the story about pissing off everybody in DC forums. Actually, one of the admins... and two or three of the moderators at DC Forums pretty much hated your guts.
So the original war driving contest for DEF CON 10 was the first one.
Hold on a second. Just so you know, in case you were thinking about leaving, this is more about how to get the most out of DEF CON. Granted, we're going to tell you war stories. We're going to tell you about the fun that we've had. We're certainly going to tell you about how much Medic hates beer and still gets drunk. But... this is also how to get the most out of it, because the common theme is, if you don't allow yourself to open up, if you do not engage, you are not getting the most out of your $220.
We're so just people. I'm nobody special. What? I'm just a guy. that's what I charged you in the back of the line for the badge.
I was going to say 420, and if you meet me, I'll give you a real badge.
Did you say 420?
Go ahead.
I heard 420.
Yeah.
So back to the story that he was alluding to for DEF CON 10 is the rules for the war driving contest were you had to turn in your logs in YSCAN format. There was only one. There were two tools that put out YSCAN format at the time. YSCAN, which was written for BSD, and NetStumbler, written for Windows. I wanted to use Kismet. So I started asking the questions on the forums, hey, what about other alternative formats? And they just posted the rules, you must use Y-scan format. Okay, thanks, that's not very helpful, guy. Come on, I mean, what other formats can we turn this in? How is your scoring going to work? And it was a, here are the rules. That was a subtle hint to me at the time that if it's not written down in the rules, it's legit. So if you can find a way to still follow those rules and bypass them, you can win. Renderman found that out a couple years later, whenever he was disqualified from the wireless contest for running fake AP. It was 500 unique access points. They didn't say they had to be real, so he launched fake AP on one interface, launched Netstar or Kismet on the other interface, logged his 500, handed his laptop over, was disqualified. But getting around those rules, so I ended up, so I took the argument from that to, from the forums to IRC with Romer, and he basically said, look, these are the rules.
And Russ.
These are the rules, this is the way it's supposed to work. Chris's avatar on the forums is a big middle finger, and it has been since DEF CON 10, whenever I started the argument with him and he told me to fuck off. So I wrote a script to do Y-scan or Kismet to Y-scan format. I went ahead, I wrote it one in VB script, what run in Perl, and just made it available, put it out there. And then we showed up the day of the war driving contest, and there were almost all of the teams were using Kismet and my scripts to beat me at my own game. If I would have kept my mouth shut, used my own scripts for myself, used Kismet, picked up all the hidden SSIDs, we would have owned it. But the top three teams used my scripts to score and to compete against me using the tool set that I had put out there and made public. So if you've got something secret for winning contests, keep it secret until after the contest is over.
Or if you're really big into the sharing economy, you can definitely do what Tim did. And it was kind of one of those things, I don't think the war driving competition would have been successful if people would have been limited to only those people that were BSD enough to run the Y-scan app, or as anybody that's run, you know, NestLumber before. It's a great program, but you're not going to find anybody trying to hide their stuff. So if there hadn't have been 15 teams there competing in, you know, Kismet, there was a lot of media. That was the first year of the wireless war driving competition. I think there were two or three media outlets there at DC 10. There were probably 10 there at DC 11 because of the popularity of the contest. And I think because people were able to find more. I mean, it's way more fun winning with, you know, at the time 1,600 access points than winning with 70 access points.
.NET Magazine did a write-up on Aaron and I after that contest, just because of the history and what we had done, and we weren't anybody. We were just podunk rednecks from Texas. So find whatever's new and upcoming. So right now, the Skata Village is new this year. You can bet next year there's probably going to be contests focused around the Skata Village. If you're into Skata or you have anything associated with it, get in there and get involved with them. Get involved at the ground floor, because whenever it blows up to be a big thing, you can be part of that big thing.
Yeah.
Thanks,
I think we've done enough.
That's actually a big deal. These guys are not sit up in front of people and chat. So, I mean, this is a big deal that they wanted to share that information with you. You know, one of the things that Medic and Alex Rogan talked about was contests. And Roots is up the hall, right? Way up there. And yet they're doing a social engineering contest here in the hallways, trying to do their own contest, learning how to pick locks, learning about cryptography, a whole bunch of other stuff. And it seems kind of silly. But the one thing that they do that most of you in this room probably don't do is involve a stranger that can help you out. It's actually kind of interesting. It's kind of fun watching the kids because they just don't know each other. And then all of a sudden, I watched one little girl sit down with a lock pick set and another little girl show her how to use the rake. I mean, fascinating, right? And for those of you that already know how to use a rake, it's not really that fascinating, but it's fascinating that just a complete stranger came over and said, hey, do this. So think about that. You know, you want to be able to get involved. You want to be able to participate. You want to be able to do these things. And the more people that you talk to, the more that you're going to get to know people, the more that you're going to meet, you know, interesting people. Viking is a friend of mine, and he's a friend of mine because of DEF CON. Because I never would have met Viking otherwise, but he's here. And the amazing thing about Viking is that he can eat any amount of pepper, and it doesn't bother him. Anyway, I'm going to let him come up here and tell you some stories about being here at DEF CON.
Okay. I didn't know I was talking.
So. No, neither did I.
Let me just say to my employer, please don't fire me. I didn't know that this was happening. None of this is endorsed by my employer, and I'm not going to talk about anything that I do at work. That being said, so I came here for DEF CON 16 was my first con. Didn't know anybody, and kind of walked in and had a terrible time. Didn't really go out, didn't really get involved. And then Romer and I happened to meet up for work. Came back the next year, and he's like, hey, you know, why don't you come hang out? Let's go and do some stuff. And, you know, I'll get you into the cool parties, and, you know, I'll introduce you to some people. And that's how I kind of ended up knowing Wiseacre and all these guys that are up here talking. And, but the really cool thing for me was, you know, I went from being a nobody to having a group of friends, right? And what Chris did for me, what Romer did for me was, you know, he showed me around, he got me introduced to some people, and, you know, kind of got me to a point where I could get things done a little bit easier at DEF CON. And, you know, I could get into some of the parties, and I could know some of the people, and I could hang out. But, you know, what I've tried to do in the last couple of years is kind of pay that back, right? So you come to DEF CON, you learn something. I guess my point would be, you need to kind of pay it back to the other people. So now I've got some friends that I drag around. I'm like, hey, I know these guys. Let me come introduce you, right? And so my advice to you is try and expand that circle. You know, if you've got some friends, introduce them to other people. Get them talking to other people, right? Because now your circle gets bigger. And I'll tell you that in what I do for work, occasionally I'm not the smartest guy in the room or on IRC, and I'll have questions. And I was in the middle of a pen test a couple months ago, and about a year ago, I popped a box, and I knew that I could get, you know, I could be inside the domain if only I could figure this one box out. And I spent weeks. I owned the box, but I basically needed to turn an outside interface into an inside interface so I could continue my exploitation. And I was just stuck. And I got on IRC and I said, hey, does anybody know how to do this? And one of my friends came in and they said, well, I think you need to do this. And I went and looked at it. It wasn't right. Ended up stuck with some IP tables. I said, hey, anybody know how to, anybody really good with IP chains? And one of the guys, Mike, who was somewhere around here, said, yeah, absolutely. I sent him I told him what I wanted to do. He sent me back the rules, and I was in, you know, main admin. Yay, me. Anyway, what I'm saying is, you know, make some friends, but then, you know, introduce them to other people. If you meet somebody cool or you meet somebody smart, introduce them to somebody else, right? Introduce the guy who doesn't know anybody to somebody, because you've just expanded that guy's circle, right? And you know, make those circles bigger for your friends, and make them bigger for people who aren't there. The other night we had some kid come sit down. A bunch of us were sitting around drinking, and he said, you know, hey, I want to get into the security business. And we, you know, so we sat him down. We said, well, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself. And we spent, you know, 10 or 15 minutes trying to get this kid, you know, who just got down to university and flown here from the UK, but, you know, trying to get this kid to understand what he wanted to do, because he really didn't know. He's just like, I just got out of college and I want to do this stuff. And, you know, but taking that time, and maybe he will, maybe he won't, but, you know, pay it back. I guess that's my primary point. I don't have any great stories about DEF CON. I know.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Honestly, usually I've had a little bit to drink when I'm here. And sometimes I don't remember everything that happened. So, you know, there is some video.
Thanks, dude.
There is some video. But, yeah, that's basically all I've got. But I'm going to put the onus on AJ. Oh, yes, I am.
I'm going to bail AJ out for a second. So how many of you guys went to the DC 101 talk on Thursday at 10 o'clock? A few guys. Okay, cool. DC 101 started out basically just as a panel to let people know, you know, this is what you should expect from DEF CON. All you noobs, you should know to come in here and make friends and do this and do that. Don't do this other thing. And usually it's a little bit more peppered with flavorful language. And part of it also is about, you know, having people come up on stage and learning about getting a handle, because you're going to find that a lot of people want to remain anonymous when they're here at DEF CON, and if you truly want to remain anonymous, then why would you have a big orange mohawk? But nevertheless, you know, that's a part of it. And Ali John actually did not get his nick, his handle here. He got it through Black Hat. And it was actually kind of fun. Ali John's handle is Pushpin, and he is going to, even though I've bailed him for a little bit, he is going to get up here and talk. And he's Pushpin because he was, the first time we saw him, he was following around Joe Grand, a.k.a. Kingpin, as seen on TV, Joe Grand. And, you know, he just looked like a little mini-me of Joe Grand. And so from Kingpin went Pushpin. Anyway, so one of the things I'd like Ali John to talk to you guys about a little bit is, I mean, Ali John gave his first talk this year, and that's a big deal, because Viking said, pay it forward, and it is kind of something that you want to be able to do, because there's a lot of people that come to this conference that really don't know what's going on. Highwiz said it. They're sock jockeys, they're knock jockeys, they're code monkeys, they're whatever. But they're not hackers, at least not in their heads, and they just don't know. You know, how do I make that change? How do I make that distinction? And Ali John's talk was about becoming a pen tester, how to do a pen test. Actually, aptly titled "Popping Boxes Like a Pro." So, here's Pushpin.
Thank you. All right, I took notes while we were while they were talking, and I'll just start with DEF CON 16. I came out here with UAT, who's obviously a vendor, and we competed in Lost's Mystery Challenge. It took up the entire conference, and it is so complex and complicated that it involved crypto, it involved different languages, it involved working with papers, and just the most complicated thing you can imagine. And our team of maybe 6 or 7 people, we didn't have that knowledge. We knew a little bit of crypto, or we knew how to pop a box, but we didn't know Korean. Or, you know, we didn't know how to do this one thing. So that competition forced all of us to go to almost every part of this conference and gain knowledge to finish this competition. And for 2 years, I think we won, every now and again, but it was fun. After that, I graduated. Russ, who is obviously very involved here, was one of our professors. I was sitting in the lab, and I'm like, I can't find a job anywhere. He's like, oh, hey, you know, toss me your resume. A month later, I've skipped all of the painful, hard, horrible work that we all have to do. The IT support help desk, the sysadmin, the network admin. I just jumped all of it. And I am now part of this insanely skilled team of people that I am nowhere near in skill set.
He's selling himself short.
Yes, he is. Sure. But from then to today, I cannot believe where I am. I've worked for 2 government agencies. I have co-authored a book, again, thanks to Russ and Evil Rob. I now work at PlayStation. It's astonishing. Some days I walk into work and I just stop and I'm like, whoa. I would not be here today if it wasn't for Russ, if it wasn't for Highwiz, if it wasn't for Chris, who's now my boss, I worked with Mike. I worked with a lot of people here. And I don't know what my life would be like if I didn't come to DEF CON. So,
thanks, dude.
Does that work?
Yeah, thanks.
All right.
We wanted shenanigans. Talk about what?
Shirt.
Oh my God. Okay. Yes. Okay. Fun story. First thing I before I forget, you're gonna see up here on either side of the podium all of these faces. This is part of the Faces of DEF CON. The Faces of DEF CON kind of started by Art Yeti, and if you have not been in the contest to see his art, you have to go. I mean, at the very least, you have to see what he puts into this work. Eddie is a pen tester, and he's a brilliant, brilliant artist as well. But the Faces of DEF CON are kind of the history of DEF CON as well. It starts with Dark Tangent, Jeff Moss, who started DEF CON, and it just grew. So you're going to see faces in the crowd that you recognize, and you may not recognize them because we don't have brown on our face or whatever, but you're still going to recognize them because these guys are the guys that kind of made this whole thing grow. They're the guys that kind of made everything. So this whole long theme is going to be, you got to get involved. And actually, part of what Ali John just said about telling about the shirt, when Ali John first started coming, we used to have a little tradition on Tuesday before DEF CON, going to Gonzales y Gonzales over in New York, New York, and having dinner. And as we were going down, the year previous, the guys traded a shirt with Joe Grand, with one of the guys that flips the little escorts, girls direct to you cards, and his shirt was disgusting. But Joe thought it was so funny, he actually wore it for his talk the next day. So the next year we decided, oh, we're gonna do it again. Of course, Ali John being there, the year that he had earned the Pushpin nickname, we were gonna get one for him too. And it was a little bit tougher that year because these guys only get one shirt. And now they get multiple shirts, and some of them even get these flashing signs. And sometimes they don't even have to have the shirts. They just sit there flipping the cards at you. And so we had to pay. And we put it on Ali John, and oh my God, you would have thought we were pouring acid on him. Because it was yucky. It was sweaty and dirty. I mean, it was almost like this guy was sleeping in it. So, but it kind of, he may have been sleeping in it. And, but Ali John was a good sport, and he actually wore the shirt and wore it to dinner and wore it back to his hotel room and then promptly showered for an hour and a half in scalding water. It's part of the fun that we have. You know, the cool thing about this conference is, first of all, it's over a weekend. So you don't have to worry about, you know, am I going to be having to get up? Am I going to have to work giving me a call? Most people don't have to worry about that. It's over a weekend, and it gives you an opportunity to actually do a little bit more. It gives you an opportunity to hang loose because there's all the events during the day, and then there's all the events at night. And one of the things that Viking brought up is parties. DEF CON used to be basically 8 hours of conference and 16 hours of parties. It's kind of morphed a little bit, you know, it's not quite 16 hours. And, you know, we've extended the talks a little bit longer, so there's a little partying that overlaps. And you'll see even that when the noob speakers are giving a talk, the speaker goons will run up, give them a shot, help them calm down, help them relax. And it is kind of fun. So it's a fun environment, an opportunity for you to come in and, you know, relax. And the parties are cool, but you don't always get invited to the parties. Especially if you don't know the 303 Mafia. Then you're not going to their cool party, which is happening tonight. Suck it, I'm going. And I'm, you know, 303 by proxy because of people that I know, and it's actually kind of cool. And I talk about the 303 Mafia, but they are a tight-knit group of friends who are very proud of their area code, and they're also very proud of the stuff that they do. And they, you know, they come in and they actually make a significant portion of this DEF CON happen. So, you know, getting to know people. Do not try to get in the party by saying you know Pyro. Because Everybody says they know Pyro, and Pyro's favorite story, he told it on Thursday, is about the guy who came up in line and said, "Hey, I want to go in the party." And they said, "Well, who invited you?" And the guy said, "Pyro." And then started defending Pyro to Pyro. It doesn't really work that way. But, you know, so again, this is what brings you along, because, you know, if you ever met Pyro, you go, "Huh, he's a cool guy. You know, he's fun to hang out with." You would not know the stuff that he knows, the math that he does in his head. He is a brilliant guy. And you certainly wouldn't know that just by watching him walking down the hall. But because I've gotten to know him, I now know some of the cool stuff that he does. And he actually is a really smart guy. So, now I'd like to open it up to any of you guys, because I know a bunch of you are getting a little bit bored. And you might have some questions, especially since apparently we've got an hour and a half more to go. And you might have some questions. You might want to know, what's going on? How do I get a handle? You know, or anything. Is there anybody? Come on, we've got microphones. You over there, sir, not even close to a microphone.
What's going on, and how do I get a handle?
You are helpful, sir, and I wish I had a beer for you. So, there are lots of things that are going on. You know, a lot of them are printed in the schedule. A lot of that stuff, what's that? Oh yeah, come on up here. We'll actually give you a handle, Mr. Helper. Yeah. Oh, nice. Hey, I also got good news. Apparently there's nothing scheduled after this, so, you know, if you guys run out of questions and I start to lose my voice, it'll be okay. So again, a lot of the stuff is printed, and then a lot of the stuff you're going to find out by just word of mouth. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have you stand over here, and you're going to tell me five things about yourself. Five things that you think are important to yourself. It could be five things that people don't know about you. Does anybody in here know him?
No.
Oh, this is even better. This just proves my point.
He's a fan. So.
All right. I'm from Portland, Oregon. I'm a software engineer for an open source company, a community manager. I wear this GitHub sweatshirt because I got it at OSCON 2 weeks ago. It's similar. That one's at home. It's a nighttime sweatshirt. I don't know, that's pretty much it, yeah. I'm a smart ass. I'm a smart ass. When I hear somebody throw something up as open as what he did, I'm gonna go ahead and call it out. It's my first DEF CON. I came here with my friend, and I don't know what's going on, because there's like several resources to find out what's going on, and none of them agree. So that's a little bit about me.
All right, awesome. All right, you stand over here.
Hello, Kitty. Hello, Kitty. Cheshire Cat.
All right, Cheshire Cat is close. Hello, Kitty is too many syllables.
Curious Kitty.
Smart-ass.
Curious Kitty, too Smart-ass. Many syllables. But this, I'm liking where this is heading. You know?
I can't. And
cat's ass.
Wait a second, what?
TMI.
All righty, you are TMI, Kitty. What that means, / Nick, TMI, Kitty. Yes, /DC-Forums. It's on FNet. The DEF CON forums, and pretty much anybody can join. You have to participate. On occasion, they will go through the logs to see how much you participate, and if you don't participate, they will kick you. And then you join again and say, hey, it's TMI Kitty, and I have a question about next year's party schedule. And then you know, you'll get just as much crap in the channel, but you'll have a good time. And it actually is pretty cool because the people that are in the DEF CON Forums channel do a lot of participation. Be prepared for a lot of drama, but be prepared also for understanding exactly what's going to be going on. And they can point you to things and introduce you to things. There was a DEF CON Forums party last night. I did not go. I was at a different party. So, who's next? You, sir.
I want to give a shout out to a goon from over a decade ago. Priest grabbed my daughter out of the audience at age roughly 15. I don't know if she's 15 or 16 yet. And had her play Spot the Fed. First of all, she got one. That was pretty cool. But he got her hooked on communicating, the same thing you just heard. And he asked her, what are you going to go do with your life? What do you want to go do? Things like that. He's talked to her a half dozen times since, here, basically, and convinced her to go to college. That's what it's about.
Didn't you want a handle?
Okay. I got students in the audience. I'm going to really pay for this. I'm a college professor.
Who doesn't need a microphone?
I'm a professor and I'm full of hot air. Don't even go there. Former military, saw combat in the Middle East.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. Sir. Married, and I'm going to pay for this. I like cats.
Not the kitties.
Wow. You know what? That one's going to stick. There's no debate. Dr. Kitty. Now, part of this is fun, right? We're talking about, you know, getting your handle. And when you get your nickname, everybody wants to start out with a badass nickname, right? You know, I want to be Siphon, or I want to be Revolver. And it doesn't work that way, because not everybody can be, you know, badass Leet Hacksaw. First of all, IRC only takes 8 characters. And second of all, it's a lot more fun when you've got something that you have now earned. Let me tell you about the guy who's my second. By the way, I am in charge of the vendor area. If you like it, awesome, come up and tell me. If you don't like it, awesome, come up and tell me, and I will remind you that I make the decisions. But I am interested in your opinions. Because the vendor area, oh, I'm going to get distracted, and then we're going to go back to picking on people. The vendor area is designed to give people something tangible, something that they can take with them from here, whether it's a T-shirt or whether it is an idea. You know, we try and make sure that everybody that's there is involved in the community. So you'll see a mix of, you know, homegrown artists, and you're going to see a mix also of corporate vendors like Pony Express and Rapid 7. You know, Pony Express started here before they were corporate. Kind of cool, right? You know, and they've been a vendor ever since, and they give back to the community. The same thing with Rapid 7, even though they're the, you know, big corporate shill, they still have an awesome tool, it's still community supported, and it's still, you know, it works. So, with that in mind, I have a second who is right now running the area, and his nickname is Wad. And he had, you know, a couple other nicknames that he liked. I think one of them may have been Ace. Yeah. But Danny and I were working together, and he'll kill me for telling this story, but Danny and I were working together we were giving a demo. Chris was also working with us. And Danny's job was to type a password in to a demonstration workstation. It was Windows XP. And we just said, type password. That's all we want is password. It's not connected to anything, and we're going to hack it. Let's make it easy on ourselves. That way the demo works. And so he typed it, and we walked away, and we came back a few minutes later, and we're like, okay, it's time to test it. Go ahead and log into that box. Types password. Doesn't work. Types password again. Doesn't work. We're like, crap, we're giving this demo in 30 minutes, and we're going to have to hack this box just so that we can give this demo. the guy that was our team lead comes in from across the hall and he says, what's the problem? Danny, you know, something's wrong with the password. Guy walks over, the first try, he types P-A-S-S-W-O-D. It works. Danny is now Passwad. Passwad@gmail.com exists. Passwad@yahoo.com exists. We signed him up for everything because it was so funny. But Passwad is too many syllables. So he became Wad. We were calling him Wad. Then he shows up one time and Chris, Danny, and I were on an assessment, and we went to a club, and at that, it was a bar, and at that bar, they had black lights. Danny walks in with his t-shirt, and it looked like a crime scene. It was not Luminol. And as it turns out, Tide, when it is not thoroughly rinsed, will glow under blacklight. However, that was his Wad shirt, and now he is Wad. All right, who wants to get another handle? I know that I can drag this out for at least another 10 minutes.
So,
you, sir.
I have a question.
Question instead?
A question, and I want to get an answer.
Okay.
can anybody hear me?
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, so I don't have to go for it. My first question, how do you change your handle if you're not satisfied with it? Like, not right away, but over time, how can you do it?
Well, I will tell you that Danny has tried to change his handle. I've known Danny since 2001. And Danny has tried to change his handle for the last 11 years. And it just doesn't happen. So you can end up, you can learn to accept it. And it's kind of cool, because if you have a handle like that, it kind of gives you a story. One of Pyro's seconds, the guy who now is running the events, is Coleslaw. I'm not going to tell you why he's Coleslaw. It's an awesome story, though. So, you know, you may not be pleased with your handle at first, but you may grow to love it. Now, Dr. Kitty actually might love that handle. Kind of sounds almost like, from Venture Brothers. For those of you who didn't hear, Viking. Gynecologist, yes. But, you know. Oh, nice. Yeah, Dr. Sandy Vagina. All right, so, if you don't like it, then try and work into something else. Pushpin has tried to change his handle too, but Pushpin's a cool handle. You know, sometimes you're going to get one. There was a guy the other day that did this, played this game with us. He probably isn't going to like his handle. You know, Meow Mix. But, you know, you might be able to find a way to change your handle. I can tell you right now, if you don't tell us silly things, we're not going to give you a silly handle. Yeah, I lied.
Second question, before we get to the handle, second. How do you get an Uber badge?
Uber badge. So, Uber badge. Actually, this is kind of cool. Ali John was talking about contests. Now, not every contest gets an Uber badge. A lot of that's the decision making is made later. Uber badge is a black badge. It is the badge that you get, and if you get an Uber badge, you get free entrance into DEF CON for life. And you get to walk around with a cool Uber, black badge. This is green. Imagine if it was black and said Uber. You get the distinction of having won a contest and being pretty badass at DEF CON. Because it is pretty hard. There was a point where you could get an Uber badge for anything. I think that we even had an Uber badge for Guitar Hero at one point. But now it's a lot harder. You know, we've had contests where people will actually drop out because nobody can do it. Danny, Chris, and I did Raiders of the Lost Ark style wireless hacking, where you had to hack something, and it led to hacking something else, and it led to hacking something else, and it was 10 different things. It wasn't that hard, but people dropped out. Anyway, so the way you get it is by participating in the contest and hoping that that's going to be an Uber badge contest. I can tell you there are certain ones that almost always are going to be Uber badge contests, and they're going to be the ones that involve a lot of work. So Lost Challenge is an Uber badge contest. Ali John's group got an Uber badge, but he's never gotten to wear it. So. No, not always. Clearly, if you're good at Guitar Hero, you could have had one bad. But yes, you do have to be awesome, and you do have. And when it's a team, one badge is handed out, but everybody gets the recognition. Only one person gets to use it. So, you know, for Ali John, if he can ever convince any of the guys, so there's two badges because his team won 2 years. If he can convince anybody to ever let him wear that badge, he can get in for free. Of course, he decided, I'm not going to do that. I'll go ahead and be a speaker instead. So, all right, now, tell us five things about yourself, Goatee Kitty. Yeah.
Okay, so, hi, everyone. I'm Frederick. I'm from Germany, from Munich. This is my first DEF CON. Also my first Black Hat, and I can tell you I won't be going to Black Hat anymore. A few things about me. So I'm in InfoSec for roughly 2 years now. I just finished my apprenticeship in February. So I'm not actually working in InfoSec for 2 years now, but I'm kind of interested in doing it. I finished my apprenticeship as a sysadmin in February 2013. So not that long ago, and I was working as a guitar and violin maker before that, so yeah, that was quite a change. What else?
Well, Agavarius.
Strings.
Okay, I think that's it.
Yeah. I heard Hactivarius, strings, and what was the other one?
Fiddler.
Strings it is, sir. Please enjoy. You should definitely not be ashamed of strings. Now you've got a fun story. A lot of people ask me, how did you get into InfoSec? I used to sell beer, wine, and liquor. Not an easy transition. I can tell you that my ex-wife did not like that job. So I got into computers as a result of that. It has nothing to do with my handle, Wiseacre. It simply is, I used to sell beer, wine, and liquor, and that's what led me to get into computers. So, all right. I believe there was one other audience. Yes, you, sir. Yeah.
So, I have got a question, and if you guys want to give me a handle, you're certainly welcome to. Okay,
well, you know, the handle is optional. If you came on Thursday, the handle is not optional. However, the question is. So you got to see that. Sure. Hardware Hacking Village. You know, I would like to be able to say something funny about that.
Internet of Things in terms of, you know, okay, so we've got a brand new, power meter on the back that's connected. I think that there's entirely too much lack of security in what's going on with Kickstarter and all that kind of stuff.
Very valid. Alex Rogan, were you going to answer his question?
Well, I was going to say, if you're interested in the Internet of Things with respect to automation, like you're saying, power meters, load meters, things like that.
Cars,
sure. So there is an ICS village this year, Industrial Control System. It is focused more towards automation of industry. However, they have a lot of the similar characteristics, you know, to where you have an underpowered piece of hardware that's essential to operation. Doesn't have enough potential to actually run securely, and it was never designed to be run securely. somebody needs it from across the globe, they slap a cell modem on it, give it a public IP, and they leave it out there. Yeah. So actually, the ICS Village does have a lot of different areas where you can actually test against some of these pieces of hardware and learn how some of the secure coding practices work for those things as well. May not be exactly what you're looking for, but I guarantee you there's a lot of like-minded folks in there.
Chances are, if you were to do a Google search on, you know, how do I do this? One of the people that you're gonna that has written about it is here this weekend. So don't be afraid, you know, if it's published, ask the author. You know, send an email. There's a reason that those people publish. It's not, you know, just because they want to share with the world at how smart they are. They also want to be able to distribute that knowledge. There are still some, you know, some people that want to help, you know, want to pay it forward. You might think that it's like you're at DEF CON and people are going to prank you. You know, I took a guy to lunch the other day. I got a diamond card, so I said, hey, let's go skip the line. You know, I had to leave, so he got to eat by himself. Actually, he was with his friends. But, you know, nevertheless, he was the third person in line that I had to talk to convince them, why don't you walk to the front of the line with me? You know, don't be afraid to do that, because chances are you're going to find somebody that really does want to help you.
Yeah, I was just going to say, a couple of years ago, you remember Dan Kaminsky did the huge DNS talk, and everybody was really spun up about it, right? I didn't know Kaminsky, but I saw him at the bar the day before he gave his talk. And everybody knew that it was going to be big, and it might have been big for the people that I was working for at the time. So I grabbed him, pulled him off to the side, and said, what are you talking about? And he talked to me for like 30 minutes. So I knew what he was going to drop before he even gave his talk. If you just walk up and talk to people, everybody here is approachable or should be, right?
If they're not, then do
and be. And fuck them if they're not, right? So, and you know, other people have said it, but if you hear people that are talking about cool shit, if you walk up and buy them a beer and say, hey, I like what you're saying, you know, can I hang out a little bit or I have a question? Most people here are like to talk about the shit that they're interested in. So walk up and talk to them, right? Find them, ambush them at the bar.
And I'll take that time, why not?
Okay, in all fairness to Viking, if you ever see Dan Kaminsky drinking, he will talk to you.
Yeah. but my point is, he talked to me the day before he gave his talk, right? So I had a little insider knowledge, only because I walked up and spoke to him.
All right, come on up here and give us five things. Wow, those are, it's like, where do the pants end and the legs start?
So apparently I'm pasty.
Yeah.
You probably didn't realize that that was an introduction statement. You, sir, with the hat. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I would like to object because I'm pasties.
Pasties. But that's different from pastee. He's just one.
Too close.
Too close.
No. Yeah. Completely different. Show us your pasties.
Please. Come on. This is actually fun. He's going to tell the story. Come up here and sit down.
All right, so I was given my handle at the first year of DEF CON that I went to. It was DEF CON 17. I went here completely on my own, had no contacts. I'd been wanting to go for years, finally saved up, was just freshly out of college, and I had no idea what I was getting into, none whatsoever. And first thing, Thursday morning, I get into the line for the registration, and it's you know a mile long. And I'm just standing there, and there's two guys in front of me drinking beers at 9 a.m. And I'm like, all right, cool. And they just sort of look back at me, and they're just like, this is your first time, isn't it? I'm like, yeah. And they just hand me a six-pack. By the time we got to the front, I was well intoxicated. And they... No.
Don't leave that.
Okay. So they convinced me to go to DEF CON 101. Me being a little inebriated, I was a little bit more extroverted than I normally was. And I got up on stage, and Haiwiz asked me what my handle was that I'd given myself. And it was so bad that he just shut me down and told me to get off the stage. He didn't even try and give me a handle. But I got pushed into doing the scavenger hunt, and I started hanging out with Arison Vandal, who ran the scavenger hunt at the time. They're back this year. I highly recommend you get to know them if you... And I became close friends with them, and they got me into the Ninja Networks party, and our team did so well Saturday night, or up until Saturday, it's just like, we got into the Ninja Networks party, we all got way too plastered, and we couldn't submit the final thing, so our team came in second. And they sort of, as a consolation prize, they said, just like, okay, we'll come out for some drinks with us. And that was the year that Arison Vandal got married, and they gave us everyone around them like an hour notice. So we all scrambled to get just something, and someone got them, or got Eris, a candy thong and candy pasties as a wedding gift. I was still belligerently drunk, and she said, there's no way in hell that I'm going to wear these. So Tuna puts on the panties, I put on the pasties, and we all go to lunch at the NASCAR cafe. And there was this 5-pound burrito challenge, and me, Tuna, and one other person was doing it, and someone tweeted out that the DEF CON people were doing this, and like 20 minutes into this challenge, one of the security staff for the cafe shows up and is like, who are you guys? We're like, yeah, we're DEF CON attendees, you know, whatever. He's just like, you don't understand, Man vs. Food was here. We streamed this contest online. And he had like 86,000 followers on the video stream. We had something like 420,000 followers, and it was crashing the network. And so he just went down and was like, who are you guys? This is Tuna and stuff like that. And they're like, who are you? I'm just like, I don't have a handle. And they're just like, just show them the pasties. And they're like, what? And I take off my shirt and I keep eating my burrito, and they started referring to me as pasties. So.
All right. Hey, before we get to you, does anybody have any other questions? Is it, well, this is fun. All right.
All right. Come on over to the mic. That way I don't have to, the faster you get to the mic, the front of the line you're in. You in the orange, you had a question. You also had a question. Come on up. All right, go ahead.
So, quick question.
And all of you guys that are leaving, oh, I'm so disappointed.
Sit your ass down.
Look, you're even laughing on the way out.
You can't leave. They're trying to get to that porn talk next door.
Ah, okay.
So, this is my fourth DEF CON. Question.
If you don't already have it, you're not doing it right. Go ahead.
How do you become a goon?
How do you become a goon?
If you want to help out, if you want to...
You know, it really depends. This year, we actually cut down on a few goons because we found that we had a few extra things. But find somebody who's in charge. Ask them, how do I get involved? Involve yourself on the DEF CON forums. A lot of the people that are on the forums are goons. Involve yourself there. And if we've got space... then we'll have you help. That's kind of the thing, you know. There aren't really a whole lot of new goons. Anybody who's a goon in general knows somebody that is a goon and has known a bunch of other people. The security goons, the safety goons, the red shirts, sometimes they'll bring new people in because, you know, it depends on how many people they have. But in general, contest goons, speaker goons, events goons, village goons, production goons, even vendor goons. You know, if there's a slot and you're cool and we know you, then we want you to hang out with us. So that's pretty much how it works.
Yeah, you gotta help out. You volunteer to help out on things, that people who know you. And, after some years, I don't know if it's your fourth DEF CON.
Basically, what he's saying is you got to help out.
Help out.
Now, I'm going to give him a lot of slack since he's been here from the beginning.
Also, ask what's actually involved.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You don't want to find yourself, hey, I want to be a safety goon, and then realize that what you might have to do is work the 2 a.m. to 8 a.m. shift. So, and get thrown up on, or get, you know, have belligerent drunks, you know, trying to push you out of the way. You don't want to, you know, you want to do something that you want to do. So again, the comment was, get involved, volunteer, ingratiate yourself to people, and demonstrate that, you know, you can be a goon and that we can trust you. And in general, that's how you get invited to be a goon.
Okay. Thank you. So the abstract for this talk mentioned incidents involving SWAT teams and crawling in air ducts. And I'm wondering if anybody is willing to share those stories, because those sounded awesome.
Yes.
Not so much.
So the only way that what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas is if you don't talk about it. I mean, you know, this should have been called Fight Club. But I can tell you, you know, there were a lot of things. I have been involved, not quite as long as Aaron, and certainly not, yeah. Anyway, and there are things. The mentality is, it's not really just a hacker conference. I mean, you challenge the status quo. And so we have had people that have done all kinds of stuff. And the SWAT teams... Yeah, I wasn't there for that, but I was there when people got thrown out of the hotel for actually throwing things out the hotel window.
That takes talent.
A refrigerator.
Parking the golf cart in the Alexis Park pool.
Yeah, you know, or turning the pool. There were three pools at the Alexis Park, turning them three different colors. Yes, the fountain was purple, or, you know, some of that AstroTurf that Jen would make angels in was peeled up. You know, there are a lot of really fun stories, and, you know, Highways initially envisioned this as being a, you know, let's reminisce about DEF CON, because what he wanted to do was to tell you all these fun stories and then, you know, kind of give you an idea of where it has evolved to. One year at the Riviera, we all got kicked out of the pool because there was a swarm of killer bees. Kind of fun stuff, you know. Not quite the SWAT thing, but crawling in. Yeah, the guys will do anything, you know. And that was it. You challenge the status quo. Kind of funny. At the Alexis Park was where most of this stuff happened. I remember people hacking the point of sale system behind the bar while the bartender was there. You know. You know, all kinds of fun stuff. Or the moment that the Alexis Park realized that maybe you shouldn't have an ATM there that can just spit out money to whoever knows the code. You know, those sort of things. You know, we've had a lot of fun, and there have been some crazy things. And if you really want some fun stories, participate in the scavenger hunt and talk to Civiac.
What was the handle?
What's that?
What was the handle?
Civiac.
Okay.
It's his birthday today.
Yeah.
It truly is his birthday. So if you find him, right, Wish him a happy birthday, give him a hug, and ask him to tell you some stories. Civiac's a lot of fun. Civiac has shown up in life vests from airplanes and all kinds of stuff. Yeah. So.
It used to be a problem at the Alexis Park. People like to get up on the roof. It's only a two-story facility there. And was it just two, wasn't it?
Yeah, just two.
Big stories, yeah. Yeah. So people like to get on the roof, and, you know, usually it was pretty innocuous. They would throw like ping pong balls or something. I believe somebody did a beer bong off the roof.
Whoa!
Actually.
And that's a three-story beer bong.
Yeah, because it was up, and then they were at the pool, which was good for them because they needed it. Yeah,
a skimmer. They needed a skimmer after that.
So the people on the roof going through access doors they shouldn't go through just to find out. The Alexis Park had an extensive, they're not like tunnels, but they're basically ways to get around the convention space that only the employees knew. And then the goons knew, and then anybody that could open the doors that they never kept locked could do. And so it was pretty routine to try to find your quickest way through to get between talk to talk, or get up on places like the roof or
Yeah, it's been, as DEF CON has grown and people like myself are approaching 50, it does make it, all of a sudden the appeal of, I might actually fall through this, all of a sudden the appeal is a little bit lost. It's lost some of its luster. But, we can talk about some stories afterwards.
Cool.
Okay. And did you have another question?
No.
Okay, cool.
All right, but I do not have a handle either, so.
Okay, well, you're not bumping the line, buddy.
Huh? All right.
Hold on. All right, so let's go ahead. This gentleman in the fancy haberdashery hat is going to introduce himself, probably not as I am pasty, and try and get himself a handle.
Okay, so five things about myself?
Five things.
Okay, all right. First thing is this my second DEF CON, I guess. That's a really shitty thing. I guess I am, I've been trying to get a handle for a while. I can never come up with a creative one, unfortunately. I've gone by a couple. Let's see here. Speaking of getting on roofs, I own a Magstripe Readwriter because I like drinking beer on the roof. I saw this up in the room, and I was like, hey, they're giving out handles, and I had had enough beer, so I thought it was a good idea to immediately sprint down here and try and do this, but I tried to buy a handle on the way to trade you a handle for a handle, but they don't sell them in the store, unfortunately. And I'm probably going to stop rambling and let you get back to your thing.
So far, you haven't really told us anything about
yourself. About myself? Oh, okay.
Rambles.
Rambles. The best part about this is that you guys are so much better at this than I am. Rambles, go ahead. Rambles. / Nick Rambles. Really, you're going to come up with a cat shirt?
Yes. Yes.
All right, go ahead.
Yes, I am. My question is, I saw a talk at Black Hat that scared the crap out of me. And while I was sitting and listening to the talk, I started thinking of mitigations for the talk. And I'm wondering if I'm able to come up with mitigations and would like to submit them to share them with other people, what's the best way of keeping my professional life isolated from my presentation life, so to speak?
Yeah.
I'm at the right spot for a solution.
Yeah. There are a lot of different ways, but the easiest way is to, truly distinguish yourself, you could be passwad@gmail.com. It's no longer being used. you can, realistically, what you want to do is be able to get, most companies have some sort of bug submission or, and a lot of companies, you might even consider this, bug bounties. And there are different ways that you can disclose this in a reasonable way. It's certainly helpful. Also, you're capable of speaking and being two different people because for a lot of us, we might work for companies like Viking does where you don't necessarily want to be associated with that organization, and that organization probably doesn't want him to be associated with them. And so, there's lots of different ways that you can do it. And the easiest way is to start getting involved with the community and certainly approach the company where if you have a mitigation, something that can do it, approach them. If it simply is a strategy, then you might consider giving a talk about it. Write a white paper or something of that nature. If it is an actual fix, then definitely you want to get with that company if it's a patch or something like that.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm getting pulled off for other things.
Okay, hey, have a good time. Oh, yeah, I am. Oh, look at that. Woohoo! According to my stormtrooper, it's 10 after 6.
Are we going to come up with a solution or no?
Do you want to come up with a solution?
It sounds like I need a solution.
Okay. I was under the impression that you... you need a handle.
I need a handle.
Man needs a handle.
Yes. All right. I'm in desperate need.
Sky Talks? That's a horrible handle.
Oh, as a solution.
You know, and the Sky Talks actually is a good example. You know, they have the lightning talks. They have where you could just basically get up. You could try a little improv talk. Now, if what you want to do is sit around and discuss this and come up with a solution, then I'm going to guess that probably...
No, the solution to my problem being that I needed a handle.
Ah, you need a handle. Okay. So, go ahead and let's...
I guess the first thing is you commented on the shirt. Yes, there is a cat on my shirt. It's a mad cat, and you're encouraged to join the revolution. I wore it because there was the cavalry talk, and... I thought that it's actually from a pet store in Madison, Wisconsin. But the Join the Revolution struck a chord, and I thought it was appropriate to wear it here at my third DEF CON. Things about me, I'm a hardware guy. I'm a device physicist. I'm a programmer. Play a lot of tennis. From Texas. We've got some other Texans floating around here. But I grew up in the Midwest. Not very interesting, eh?
What's that?
Tennis kitty.
Tennis kitty, yeah. No, we're not going to do that.
Stack of green balls.
Green balls.
Fuzzy green balls, no less.
Well, you know what? You are Green Bees. Green Balls, and you are GB. We're going to call you GB for short.
GB. Very good.
Green Balls.
All right, Mr. Orange, you wanted a handle. And we're going to do one more, and then I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. I will be happy to answer questions afterwards, though.
So I grew up hanging out a lot at Lawrence Berkeley Laboratory, and... just my dad was an engineer there, ended up sort of getting into the family profession myself, do hardware or learned hardware and embedded systems, and, you know, always done sort of software and sysadmin on the side. A cyclist, met another one who talked about growing up as kids of people in the national labs as beam brats. And see what else about me.
10 speed sounds good. Now, Berkeley speed is where they don't have lawnmowers. They have goats. Come on. Lab rat is good too. I am happy with 10 speed, and 10 speed is a good story, has a good story behind it. So we're going to go with 10 speed.
Thank you.
All right.
I do not need a handle. I already have one. It's more of a story.
Really? Let's hear your handle and decide if you actually do have one.
Well, the story is what comes with a handle. So my first DEF CON was 9. At the time, I was an illegal. So it was very difficult to come in here. I had to take the bus, and I didn't speak English. So I made it. I didn't know anyone, and I was afraid because everyone looked totally different. And I was scared. Prior to that, I got the handle because I was in LA, and I ended up going to the LA 2600 meeting. I didn't know anyone, and so they asked me, well, what's your handle? And the first thing it came to my mind is they had computers out there, and there was a plug. And I said, that. So I just pointed to it and said, plug. Yeah. And that was it. So that's the only thing I could say. But so I always was in the shadows. So I know a lot of the people through faces because I never really interacted with them. It was a problem that I had because I felt that I couldn't speak and that limited myself. So then I came to 10, 11, and still was illegal. So finally, by DEF CON 13, I got papers, and I was so happy. So anyways, in LA, I got a ride with a guy that was Strom Carlson. He was doing hacking the asterisk, and actually that DEF CON, which I believe was the last one at Alexis, he did the mailbox, I think, right? The switchboard, I think they had something like that. Anyway, so we were driving in the car, and I was always scared, right? Because I was always taking the buses, so no one could see me. And so this time, he was driving too fast because he needed to get there early to set up everything. And then, police. Right? So it's like, so he's all mad and pissed because he needed to get in. Well, I was actually trying to hide. Because in my mind, I was still thinking, like, prior to that, sometimes police officer comes in, it's like registration and whatnot, and I'm just sweating and shaking, right? And then just he looks at me like, what's going on? And I didn't really say anything, right? But then after, you know, for a minute, I thought, well, wait a second. I don't need to do that anymore. Like, I got papers, you know? So anyways, I stopped, but I took a break. And finally, one day, I decided, you know, I'm going to interact more with people. So what I decided to do is I went back home, and I decided to tackle terminology and try to get it to pronounce it better. So when I talk to people, they will not look at my mouth, and then we have a really good conversation. So here I am presenting my story, and hopefully it helps people, because another thing that I realized is through all the years, one of the things that is striking me is I could never see people from my own country, you know, and I couldn't even see Latinos for a long period of time. And it was until recently when the first people I saw was from Spain, then we got the guys from Argentina and then Colombia and so forth. But if it's difficult for someone like me, it shouldn't be difficult for anyone that speaks the language. And you should not be afraid to do anything. I mean, I had probably a valid reason. Didn't have papers or anything, but nothing should stop you from not making friends. And what I decided to do now is hang out at the bar, and if someone wants a beer, I'll just buy them a beer and I have a conversation with them, because, you know, it's the only thing I can do it. I'm trying to break from not being social with people, but I try my best to do it. So just to end this thing, the first person I met in LA 2600 was actually Noid. He used to run the Goons. The second person I met at the time, Lost. I think he was in LA because I was the first person. I thought he spoke Spanish because I think, you know, I was trying to communicate with him. And the third person that really intimidated me, it was Petty Lanzarni. He's a huge, you know, tall man. Yeah. So I was really freaked out because he was looked like a punk rocker and stuff. And I just, you know, I thought, oh my God, this is going to be scary. So you can meet a lot of great people. You know, do interact with them. It's always fun. And, you know, I'm glad that I, you know, became part of this, you know, culture. It's been a life changing for me. I've now worked in security. I do the things that I really like. And I've learned a lot of the stuff from the people that I met through these, you know, conferences. So that's it.
Thank you very much, Plug. Right.